So we have a parable here that we're all familiar with, one most of us could probably recite the highlights to by heart, parable of the prodigal son, or you know, we could say the parable of the merciful father, the parable of the older brother, because each one has a really important role to play in what's going on here. And we're listening to it now during Lent. That's when the church has given it to us. Why? Because Lent is a time that helps us really examine different traps that we can fall into in the spiritual life. Same thing the prodigal son went through, same thing the older brother went through can happen to us. Because we all have the same enemy, don't we? And we might say, I don't know. Like, we all have different stories, we all have different experiences. And that's true, but we all have the same enemy. If you were to think about the two sons, these two brothers in today's gospel, they have totally different stories. They have completely different experiences. The choices of the younger son, right? He chose self-indulgence. He chose lust and drunkenness. And he chose to waste what he had. He chose to use others. All these different terrible things. The older son, he made choices too. A different story. He chose loyalty, he chose duty, he chose service, he chose to live a frugal life where his brother chose to live a wasteful life. Two different people, two very different stories, but in today's gospel, they have the exact same enemy working on them. It's an enemy that defeats more people than you could possibly imagine. An enemy that faces both sons, both brothers, an enemy that has robbed more people of love, of joy, robbed more people of relationships and peace, and it's even kept more people out of heaven than any other enemy. And that enemy, it's very simple. It's one word, one syllable, pride. Both brothers have different experiences, different stories, different choices, but the exact same enemy, pride. Now, it doesn't look the same for them, does it? Because pride can disguise itself, right, in all these different ways. For the younger son, sin had led him away, but pride could keep him away. Right, his choices led him away from his father's house, but pride could keep him away. And what form did that pride take within him? Embarrassment. Right, in his life, it could just be embarrassment. Here he is, away from home, and we're told at one point that he comes to his senses. So he realizes what he's done wrong. He knows he's far from his father's house, and yet embarrassment kept him from asking forgiveness. Right, so think about this. How many of us have that same attitude? I know my story. I know my choices. I know what I've done, but man, I don't want to go home. And I don't want to face the music. And it's not because I don't believe there's not going to be mercy. I'm just too embarrassed to admit what I've done. Maybe even this. I'm too embarrassed to receive mercy. I'm too embarrassed to actually be loved. And how insidious is that? But that's what pride is. It's saying, I'm too embarrassed to let you love me anymore. So I'm just going to stay away. And even more with the younger son, you know, the only reason this knucklehead finally decides to go home, it's not because he was convicted of his sins or anything like that. No, it's because he says, I'm dying of hunger. And I guess my father's home is as good as any to get food. And he knows it about himself. That type of embarrassment could keep him from reconciliation. And that's totally us. Sometimes the only reason we think of going back to the Father is because we realize, like, I'm spiritually dying. My sin is actually killing my soul, but I'm unwilling to go to confession. Why? It's embarrassing. I mean, I got to say my sins out loud to a priest? That's too embarrassing. Imagine being too embarrassed to go home. Imagine choosing fear of embarrassment over choosing to come inside. Imagine choosing hell, which is eternity without God, choosing hell because I was too embarrassed to go to confession. How crazy is that? Choosing to not go inside the Father's house, staying inside because admitting what I've done, it's just too embarrassing. But that's how our enemy, pride, gets us. And here's the thing, when the younger son actually lets go of his embarrassment and he returns home, we're told the father is overjoyed. Right? He can't contain himself. He runs to his son. He embraces him. Right? So the son, he lets go of that pride and he goes home. The father is overjoyed. A, because he says his son was dead and is alive again. B, his son has come home, and C, his son has left sin behind. It's like it's forgotten by the father because he has his son back. Like there is nothing that could make the father more joyful at this moment than receiving his son again, except the older son. Because the father loves the younger son, but he loves his older son too. And that's the problem for the older son. His father loves him too. Meaning the brother he looks down on receives equally of the father's love. For the younger son, it's embarrassment that could hold him back. For the older son, what happens? He sees this celebration for his brother, and it says he grew angry. And this isn't just any type of anger. He really became resentful because nothing had been taken away from him. He didn't lose a thing because his brother came home. But he was resentful because someone else got something that he wanted. And resentment seeks to blame someone when you're not happy. And that's the older son. He wants to blame his brother for squandering the inheritance. He wants to blame his father for not disowning his younger brother. Resentment wants to blame someone, anyone, for your current state, what you're going through. When the problem really is not the younger son and it's not the father. The problem is in him. It's in the older son. Not his brother returning home, not his father's generosity. His own resentment keeps him outside of his father's house. His own resentment keeps him from receiving what his father has always been trying to give him, which is everything that he has. The older son just doesn't know how to receive it. And again, this parable is not about these two sons. This is about our own hearts. Because the younger son, in light of God's justice, he believes his sins are insurmountable. And the older son, in light of God's mercy, he believes his good works, what he's done, is inconsequential. And these are the spiritual traps that we can so easily fall into. On one hand, we can either say, I'm too embarrassed to let go of my sins. Or on the other hand, say, I've slaved away for God. And his mercy to others makes what I've done seem meaningless. And pride causes both of those attitudes because, boy, pride is a chameleon in our lives. It works its way in even when we don't want it to work its way in. And so what needs to happen for each brother? What is the remedy for pride? Well, it's humility. And humility is not the, aw shucks, I'm no good attitude. Humility is nothing more than admitting the truth. Humility is admitting the truth. But it's admitting the full truth. Because both sons say the truth to the father, don't they? The younger son shows up and he tells his father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. That's true. I no longer deserve to be called your son. That's actually true. He's given all of that away. The older son, what does he say? All these years I've slaved for you. That's true. I've never disobeyed your orders. That is true. They're both telling him the truth, but it's not the full truth. Is it? We don't just need ourselves to tell the truth. We also need the Father to tell us the truth. The younger son comes home, or that's the key, that's the answer, not just telling our side of the truth, but hearing the Father speak to us the rest of the truth. That's what's needed to overcome our embarrassment, to kill our resentment, to kill any form of pride that we might have. The younger son says, I no longer deserve to be called your son. And what does his father say? But you are my son. My son was dead, and he's alive again. And it only takes his father wanting it for it to be real. That's his father's love. So humility is letting the father's voice tell you the full truth. The younger son says, I don't deserve this anymore. And the father says, I don't care. You're still my son. To the older son, the father says, I've never asked you to slave for me. Everything I have is already yours. So do you realize that? Do you realize that when we come before God and are willing to tell him the truth, we also have to let him tell us the truth. The younger son comes home and he says, listen, Father, I'll be your slave. And the older son says, listen, Father, I've been your slave. But then to let the father speak, and he says, neither of you are meant to be my slave. Both of you are my beloved son. And letting the father speak to you like that is the only way to get past our embarrassment. It's the only way to overcome resentment and to break through our pride, to hear the full truth. And that truth is what? I need him and I have him. I wonder if we can't sit here today and state that full truth. I need him and I have him. And this is the last thing. Today, to ask, what is the pride that has snuck into your heart that's keeping you outside? Or we could say, what's the thing that's kept me from coming back into the Father's house? What's the thing that's held me back from going to confession? It might be embarrassment, it might be resentment. What would the Father have to do to get my heart, to get your heart, to just be willing to let go and come inside? In the gospel, it says the Father comes out to his child. He pleads with him, come inside. Today, right now, at this Mass, here is the Father in heaven, and he's just speaking right now to your heart. And what he's saying is, come inside. I know we have different stories. I know we have different experiences, but we all have the same enemy. And that enemy just wants to keep you outside, locked outside, outside of love, outside of joy, outside of relationships and reconciliation, outside of the fullness of what God wants for you. And that enemy actually wants to keep you outside of heaven. And it can. Right? It has the power to do that. But the Father, he's more powerful still. And he says, here's the truth. I plead with you. Here's the truth. You need me and you have me. Everything that I have is yours. So let go and come inside. Amen.